Today's episode is sponsored by our friends at Kellogg. For more than 100 years, Kellogg has been innovators of grain-crafted foods.
Welcome to the FitFluential Radio Podcast, the intersection of health, wellness, and fitness. Join hosts Kevin Cottrell and Kelly Alexa as they interview thought leaders and world-class experts in order to demystify and declutter complex health and wellness topics. The goal in each episode is to provide you with actionable tips and information in order to apply them in your everyday lifestyle.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to FitFluential Radio. I am your host, Kelly Alexa, and today I am joined by Stacy Krawczyk. Stacy Krawczyk is a registered dietitian for the Kellogg Company, and I'm going to give you a little bit from her official bio, if you will, and then tell you what we talked about as far as food and nutrition and moderation in this interview, because I know you're going to want to tune in. Stacy is a farm girl foodie. She keeps busy fueling her four school-aged athletes who are always on the go. Her nutrition philosophy is to be a realist, which I love, who balances the importance of nutrition and a healthy lifestyle with the regular enjoyment of foods. To learn more about Stacy and the Kellogg Nutrition Team, who are working to make your favorite foods better all the time, visit them at www.openforbreakfast.com or on Twitter at Kellogg Company. Now, just to give you a little preview of what you're going to hear in this interview, when I first met Stacy, she and I did a call and we just got to talking about food and I guess what I'd call the elitists that reside in sometimes the nutrition world. They reside in the fitness world as well. You all have heard, for you listening, you've heard us talk about how we really don't like having those types of attitudes and philosophies on the show. It really should be that we all embrace, especially going forward, that you do you approach and just find out what works for you. And what works for you might not be what floats somebody else's boat. But when it comes to food and also when it comes to workouts, keep it simple and learn that moderation is key in all things. And that's one of the things Stacy and I talk a lot about on this discussion. And I think many of you are going to pick up a lot of great tidbits. She's a mom. She's got a really significant role on the nutrition team at the Kellogg Company. And yet we talk about keeping it real, you know, eating real foods, enjoying some indulgences, and not being that elitist. Even when you are a registered dietitian like Stacy is, she keeps it real. I think this is a fantastic interview to give you some great perspective, probably also get you very hungry. I'm just warning you. Please enjoy this episode, and we'll see you next time. Hello, everybody, and welcome to FitFluential Radio. I am your host, Kelly Alexa, and I'm coming to you live from Austin, Texas, and I'm pleased to have on the show with me today, Stacy from the nutrition team at the Kellogg Company. Stacy, why don't you introduce yourself to our listeners and tell us a little bit about your role, how long you've been with the company, and so on.
Well, thanks so much for having me. I'm thrilled to be here, and I bring you greetings from Michigan. I am a registered dietitian. I've been with Kellogg for about 5 years, and I'm the senior nutrition manager.
And you are, we're going to talk a little bit more about your role at the company, but as we move on in our dialogue here, but as a dietitian, tell us what made you want to go work for a food company initially?
That's a really good question. You know, I think I've always been about the nourishment of others. I kind of learned that from my grandmother in her kitchen. And I think I gravitated into a food career because of wanting to help people find that balance of nutrition and health as well as enjoyment. But you know what? I'm also a farmer's daughter. And so I understand where our foods come from. And really, in fact, I now am a co-owner of a farm that's been in our family for over 100 years. As for a food company, I think after working as a registered dietitian in various roles within the community, I found a role that really fits the intersection of my expertise and my passion. And working for Kellogg in particular, a company who values registered dietitian, allows me a chance to really have an impact on the food system at a much greater level than I did before.
That is so cool. And just for everybody listening, when Stacy and I first chatted, I think we spent about 90 minutes chatting about food and nutrition and everything and some of my obsessions with certain Kellogg's products to be named at a later time. But I had no idea about the fact that you're a farmer's daughter and that you are co-owner of a farm. So I'm learning even more about you. That's really cool. My mom actually grew up on a farm too. So she's always telling me stories of, you know what, Kelly, we used to pay for our groceries with potatoes. So just, you know, kind of bonding with you a little bit further there, Stacy. I mean, you're not the only registered dietitian. There's an entire team. Is that correct? And what do you all do typically during a typical week?
We have about 20 registered dietitians across various functions at the company. My team is the nutrition marketing team. We kind of help bridge between the technical folks and the marketing folks to really help make foods that people want with the nutrition they need for the brands that help fill that need. We also have dietitians in nutrition labeling, consumer affairs, regulatory affairs, and nutrition science. It's interesting because as a group, a lot of us grew up on farms. Most of us have graduate degrees in nutrition or business or public health. And of course, all of us love food.
I love food so much. How would you say the nutrition team, how do they influence as far as the development of foods or recipes at the Kellogg Company?
Well, it's really exciting because I think this is my dream job. It really is that intersection between my passion and my interests and my expertise. And for those brands that have foods that are more of a nutrition forward focus, we bring trends and influencer feedback together and match those with what's going on in the regulatory environment to help kind of guide the teams to foods that not only taste delicious, but have purposeful nutrition.
You all have, I mean, just hearing your answers on some of these questions, there's so much more to your job and your work than most of us realize. I mean, that's a lot. You have a lot of stuff to deal with as such a big company. I give you credit and I give you guys snaps for that. That's a lot of stuff you have on your plate, no pun intended. In some circles, and I love this question because we get questions about this all the time in the Fit Financial community. Grains are criticized as what, air quotes, what's wrong in our American diets. I certainly have a position on that. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, first of all, everybody eats. So everybody has an opinion and experience about that. And now that we're in the digital age where everyone can share that opinion, which often doesn't rely on evidence-based science, we tend to see a lot of that chatter. And when you see a large volume of it, you start to believe it, whether it's true or not, right? We've seen over modern history the diet pendulum constantly swinging from one extreme to the next. And we as a people seem to think we have to be all or nothing versus finding that middle ground and staying the course. And like I said, right now there's a lot of chatter about demonizing grains. And this is just another cyclical fad that was the cornerstone of, say, like the Atkins diet, and now it's paleo. But in reality, whole grains provide fiber, protein, and other nutrients in convenient forms. You know, it's interesting because every cell in our body and our brain requires glucose supplied by carbohydrates to function. And if you cut out a main source of that fuel, your body's not going to be energized as efficiently. And so when I think about our grain-based foods, like our cereals, I really like to think about it as a blank canvas. You know, for cereal, I add some milk or yogurt for extra protein in my bowl. And then I'm going to throw on some fruit and nuts and seeds for vitamins and crunch. And you know what? I've got a great start to my day.
I am, as you were saying that, I was thinking of so many of our Fit Financial ambassadors that make these, I think they call them like protein bowls, and just what you said with yogurt and these amazing cereal toppings. And of course, they know how to make it and take pictures of it. So it's Pinterest worthy. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
and
smoothie bowls are all over Pinterest.
That's what it is. It's smoothie bowls. So thank you, because that's exactly what it is. I mean, what could be better? Something that you said several of the things that you said, these are themes we talk about regularly on Fit Financial Radio, which is it's not all or nothing. You definitely want to find a middle ground. And I think I see more people doing that. Not saying, we've talked about this several times, people aren't labeling themselves, I'm vegan, I'm paleo, I am flexitarian. They're just saying, well, you know, I do a little bit of this and maybe I try to be paleo, but I cheat on the weekends. And it just, it's going to work as a lifestyle more if you allow yourself a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and just chill out. So I love that you said that, because these are themes that we constantly reinforce on the show. Like, people, enjoy what you eat. This is for life. Make it enjoyable, make it sustainable. And again, you're not going to do that if you have the, this all or nothing, I call it the nutritional elitist approach. Nobody's got time for that. Move right along. So I love that you said that. You know,
adding to that is, it's all about life stage too. Because right now my diet is different as a mom and putting food on the table for my kids than it would be if it's just my husband and myself, or just myself. Because it's based on time, it's based on, you know, getting them fueled, you know, et cetera. So I think it's all about life stage too.
And when you said, you just mentioned their fuel, you know, especially within the fitness, health, and wellness community, people are active and you need fuel. And there has been so much talk about cutting out an entire food group. And if you do that based on certain diets or practices or quick fixes out there, you will have zero energy. And guess what? You try to go through your day with zero energy, good luck with that. Like, good luck to your coworkers, good luck to your family, good luck to your boyfriend or your girlfriend or your husband or your wife, because that's just like, ain't nobody got time for that. So anyway, just love what you said. Sorry I interrupted. And again, the smoothie bowls, obsessed. We'll have to link some of that up in the show notes. So moving, kind of piggybacking on that, what would you say, you know, sugar in cereals is, I'm sure you've heard this, it's often a point of criticism from many in the nutrition space. What else is Kellogg's doing to make kids cereals or just cereals healthier?
Well, first I want to talk a little bit about sugar, because sugar does provide functional benefits in our food. It helps to bring out other flavors. It gives baked goods a nice golden color, and it provides texture that we expect. You know, I don't know if you were, you know, baking some cookies lately, but you know, when you're making baked goods at home and the recipe calls for creaming the butter and sugar together, well, that's for a reason. The shape of the sugar crystals really kind of help bring out air and lightness into the batter, given that texture that we expect from things like cookies and baked goods. But that being said, we also know people are very interested in sugar and where sugar is in their diets moving forward, especially. And in 2015, we committed as a company to lowering the sugar in our cereals so that by 2020, 90% of our cereals will have 10 grams of sugar or less per a 30-gram serving. But it's really important to put sugar from the ready-to-eat cereals category in perspective. It only contributes 4% of people's daily added sugar intake in the U.S. So 4% of all of the added sugar comes from cereals. The greatest source of added sugar in our diets, you can imagine, comes from things like beverages. And we know that many health organizations, including the American Academy of Pediatrics, as well as other government agencies, including the USDA, kind of recognize that there's room in the diet for some foods with added sugar, such as cereal, that really helps to provide other nutrients that are missing from our diets. You know, the American Academy of Pediatrics even says that sugar can help provide that palatability of nutrient-dense foods like cereals so that kids will eat them. Because you know what? If you put a bowl of bran flakes in front of a young child, it's unlikely they're going to enjoy them. But you add a little frosting to mini wheats, and now they have a delicious way to get almost the full day's requirement of whole grains, 6 grams of fiber, and 11 vitamins and minerals. But we know it takes time for kind of that innate preference of sweetness that we've developed over time. And to retrain that to be less accepting of sweet foods, you know, is going to take time. And we're on that journey, not only as a company, but as a population. But to answer the second half of that question, what else are we doing to our cereals to kind of meet the needs of what consumers are looking for? We're also removing artificial colors and flavors from our cereals and other foods that we have in our portfolio as well.
You know, it's so funny because you brought up several things that I want to touch on, but what you just said there, we actually were recording, Kevin and I, my co-host, This Week in Health and Wellness, and we were talking about what you just said, which is in reaction, and you mentioned earlier in the show that you take influencer feedback, and it sounds like as a company, you're really taking, consumer opinions and preferences and what they want to see and responding to that. A lot of consumers don't think that anybody's listening to their preferences. And, you know, you can't just, as a consumer, whine and complain about, you know, things that don't exist. Share your opinion and share your feedback. And you can do that in myriad ways. But that's good to hear. I thought I'd also bring up several interviews that I did recently on the show in regards to sugar. You know, so many people think, back to what we talked about in your last question, that it's all or nothing, right? That I have to have no sugar. And, you know, we're at the beginning of 2017, people are making New Year's resolutions and they think no carbs, no sugar, no this or whatever. And again, they're getting that extreme approach, which is not advisable. But I've talked with several nutritionists, personal trainers, celebrity trainers, some doctors that have been on the show, and every single one of them, do you know what they were saying as their advice? It wasn't that you can't have sugar. Actually, they were encouraging me to get away from obsessing about artificial sweetener and saying, let yourself have some real sugar. And that's what I find is like, you know, for me, it's a 90-10, you know, kind of approach. Maybe it's an 85, you know, 15 approach where 85% of my food is like, you know, organic and nice and pretty. And then I let myself have the good stuff, you know, and some of those, again, are many of your products. Seriously, you've got to have the good stuff. Allow yourself to have treats. And sugar in certain doses, like you said, can be, it's okay. And no one's going to tell you you need to eliminate all sugar. I also love that you brought up that the greatest source of added sugar in our diets is from beverages. I'm not going to point any fingers here, but seriously, I used to be one of those people that was drinking half of my calories in the day and not even thinking about it. One snack in the morning from a certain coffee shop, one snack in the afternoon, and there's like at least half of my calories. So people start to look at this differently. And I love, again, Stacey, that you brought all of that up. So moving right along, one of the things we've observed in the Fit Fletcher community at large, and especially folks that are, again, just getting started on a healthier path, and it's that time of year, there's a tendency to really lead into this all or nothing mindset. We've talked about this already a little bit on this interview. When it comes to exercise, but really also food, and I'm sad to see that we still have this a lot. We are always pushing on the show, but also on the FitFluential platforms, balance. This is supposed to be a lifestyle, not a diet. And I'm using air quotes over here. Stacey, you and I talked about this when we first met and we chatted forever. Do you agree that too many men and women are a little obsessive about these rigid rules and eliminating entire food groups? You know, this deprivation approach versus, hey, this is lifestyle and I want to have a balanced approach that is moderation in all things.
You know, absolutely. You know, Kellogg and me professionally as a dietitian share that philosophy. You know, we have at Kellogg a platform of food choices. And if you want vegetarian cuisine, we've got the foods for you in Morningstar Farms. You want a sweet treat and you know, be able to enjoy that indulgent, you know, Rice Krispie treat may fit that bill for you. But too much of a good of one thing isn't always good either. You know, we need that balance of taste, textures, and nutrients. The same thing over and over gets boring. And, you know, it becomes food becomes utilitarian versus finding simple and easy moments of joy throughout our day. And so for balanced indulgence, you know, it's important to think about, well, you know, you said that 85-15 or 90-10, when you're looking at, you know, being mindful of what you are eating and enjoying through the day. You know, if you want a chocolate fix in the evening, have a bowl of Crave with milk. You're getting not only the calcium from the milk, but you're getting fiber and whole grains and other vitamins and mineral to boot. And yet you're still getting that delicious chocolate taste.
to that note, you know, I have learned to not beat myself up like I used to. So if I have a day where I do a little bit more indulging, it doesn't mean like you have to, oh, I've got to start all over. And so many people, especially newbies, they think that I used to be one of them. I always use myself as an example in the show. They think that everything has to be precisely perfect. And I actually wanted to build on a little bit of what we've been talking about here. We've seen this so much in the FitFluential community, and it's very timely for us to talk about this today. I'm observing that more and more of our people that are finding success, and this is men and women of all ages, they don't consider themselves really to ever be on a diet. I mean, we really don't. I founded FitFluential in 2011, and it's now 2017. I would say as each year passed, we heard less and less folks talking about diet, even just as a word. You know, again, most people are finding that they want to be able to just have a lifestyle, right? And they're more mixing and matching what works for them. And I just don't know anyone in the list of the most healthy men and women in our industry, many of whom have been on the show, that have never had a soda or never have sugar or never have grains or bread or cereal or adult cocktails. It's really all about balance and finding that comfortable fit for you. And we strongly recommend it. Do you agree? I think you do.
Yeah, I think too. It's something that's sustainable. If you're all about deprivation and, you know, keeping yourself from something, then that's what you're going to focus on and want even more. And so I think of understanding how, and I think that's how diet in general has really evolved and into more of a mindful approach of being successful, that, you know, it's important that food is more than nutrients. It's about our culture. It's our celebrations, our memories. And so this balanced approach really helps provide ways we can eat to live by being thoughtful and purposeful, but not that obsessive or restrictive mindset that we've had in the past. You know, when I don't feel like cooking dinner sometimes, you know, I've worked a long day, I come home and I've got to put food on the table for six of us, I've instituted family finger food fun night. And you know, my kids actually love it. And I'm just like, it's sweet because I win because I don't have to cook that much, and they win because it's something exciting and different. But, you know, in addition to a veggie and fruit and cheese tray, I'm throwing some Pringles or Cheez-Its on there just to kind of bring some excitement to it as well. And they think it's, you know, the absolute best. And they all run around, you know, having a great time talking about family finger food fun night.
I think that's really cool. In fact, I saw a picture of my nephew on Facebook, and he's 5, and he'd had his first sleepover, and he was allowed to make his own snack plate for his friends. And I think it was pretty much close to your family finger food. I hope I'm not even going to be able to say that. Finger family fun night, whatever. But, you know, I know that there will be people listening to this show, and I catch heat all the time, and you guys probably catch it. And it's, you know, some of the elitists that are out there. There's going to be people like that all the time, you know, that are very hardcore, that are very, and I just, you know, you do you. That's the philosophy right. That we have. Like, find the fit for you. I get somebody that if I put something up on Facebook or Instagram and I'm like, oh, I love this meal, immediately somebody will write to me, I can't believe you have that much sodium. I can't believe blah, blah, blah. I'm like, you know what? You do you, baby. I got this. Like, be okay with your own choices. And what works for you is supposed to do just that. It's supposed to work for you. Nobody's supposed to be the food police for everybody else. And again, it's all about moderation and balance. So enjoy life, people. Let's just take it down a few notches. Next, we're going to talk about breakfast, which is kind of one of my favorite meals personally. Today's episode is sponsored by our friends at the Kellogg Company. Kellogg is committed to transparency and wants you to know what's in your food, where the ingredients come from, and how it's prepared. To find out how we are making your favorite foods better, visit www.openforbreakfast.com and ask a question today. I was surprised in a way, but kind of not surprised, to learn about the decline of breakfast habits in this country. I was surprised probably because I love breakfast so much, and then not surprised because I think about lifestyle. We've all heard from numerous sources that breakfast is the most important meal. And while some might debate that, most in our community agree that, you know, how you're going to start your day, I think it's going to determine how your day is going to go. A lot of people skip breakfast, in my observation, because they think that's the best way to cut calories. In my opinion, again, that's a bad decision. Many just allow themselves to play into this and think also not only is it going to cut calories, but they think they don't have time and that they, you know, they need to rush out the door. What happens is they pig out at lunch, and then I think they pig out later, and they're making poor choices because they're so hungry. Let's talk about this. What's your take on this?
Well, I think you're definitely, you know, right in the fact that people think they are just too busy and they like just run out the door and then they just forget and they get busy at work or busy on the train and et cetera. And I think if people stop and think that, you know, there's a lot of research that really shows the importance of breakfast on starting our day, starting our metabolism, starting, you know, how we can put our best foot forward for the day. You know, people who think that they're cutting calories by skipping breakfast, we know that some of that research shows that you are going to overconsume at other meals of the day to kind of compensate that. And also, too, when you start your day with a good choice and having breakfast as a part of that, it's easier to make additional good choices as the day goes on because you've had that success. Whereas if you feel like, oh, gosh, I've skipped breakfast, I've already, you know, tanked my day of making decisions, so I'm just going to grab, you know, whatever and not be purposeful about what they're going to eat at that time. But we are a mobile society. And so I know a lot of people are thinking about, well, you know, it's a two-step breakfast. I'll grab a little bit at home and then I'll grab a little bit when I get to work, or, you know, before my workout, I'm going to, you know, drink this. And then after my workout, I'm going to have this. So I think if people can actually really focus on the fueling aspect of starting their day and how they can best do it within their own, you know, kind of pattern and their flow of their life, I think that's, you know, probably the best kind of intersection between a population that's on the go all the time, but yet the importance of fueling our bodies and starting our days on the best foot forward.
You made me think of something that I'll use myself as an example here, because you're talking about being on the go. And sadly, sometimes I don't lead as much by example as I would like to. And one of my biggest problems, Kevin, my co-host, is always, you know, giving me a little bit of a nudge, and that's a friendly word, for my tendency to, you know, leave. I actually did it today. You know, I had a partial breakfast, meaning like all I had was my bulletproof coffee, and I didn't have my breakfast. I needed to go grocery shopping. And I ran out to do some errands. I had nothing in the car for like a snack or something that I could nosh on. So I had nothing in the car. I didn't have my water with me. And basically by the time I got back, it was 2 o'clock, and I'm running into the kitchen famished. And at that point, I'm playing catch up, right? And it's just, I am one of those people that illustrates exactly sometimes, sadly, and I'm just being honest, what you shouldn't do. And what I am focused on doing, in fact, it was part of my New Year's resolutions. I tend to make resolutions every month, is always have something in the car, because there's always going to be that day, people, where you're running late, you don't have time for breakfast. Have something in the car. Have stuff at the office. If you're, you know, working that cubicle life, have something in the office. So if you end up getting into this really long conference call, really long meeting, have healthy snacks at the office. Make sure you plan ahead so that you've got a backup plan. So I love that you brought that up. But another topic, you know, I want to address while we're here, because we're talking about breakfast and we're talking about cereal in particular, there's a lot of folks, myself included, that have developed lactose intolerance or dairy issues just in general. And so they think, you know, anything that is related to milk, such as cereal, is off limits. But many people, surprisingly, don't know this. My father was one of them. My father and my mother, not anymore. that there's so many dairy alternatives that are outstanding. You know, my dad, like I just mentioned, I finally got him drinking almond milk, even though you'd think I was asking him to drink raw sewage when I said, "Dad, try some almond milk." And he's, again, very resistant to change. He's like, "I'm just going to go with the skim milk, Kelly." But I'm curious if you guys know, do you have a lot of your customers, or do you know if a lot of your customers are using dairy alternatives? I think educating on this topic could be really helpful.
You know, we definitely see that as a growing trend. I think a majority of people still are using cow's milk when they're putting milk on their cereal, but it is a growing trend where people are looking at those alternative milks. And I think it's just important to check the nutritional labels against each other, because they're aren't exactly a one-for-one when it comes to the amount of nutrition within a cow's milk versus a nut milk per se. So it's just being mindful of that, that there might not be a one-for-one kind of matchup for some of those nutrients that are in the bowl coming from the milk. But you know what? We see almond milk and other milks really growing. Even in our Kellogg's Cereal Cafe at headquarters, they have almond milk as an alternative for folks to use. I use almond milk in my coffee every morning because I like the nutty taste it offers. You know, that's what's great about cereal and snack bars, is that they go well with those dairy alternatives just fine. It kind of opens up a whole nother world of flavor combinations.
Did you say that you have a cereal cafe at Kellogg headquarters?
Yes, we do.
Just invite me anytime.
Come on by.
Like, I'm serious. Like, somebody like Kevin, my podcast co-host, he's one of those people that if somebody told him to go on a diet of like grass and pebbles and water, he'd be like, "Oh yeah, no problem." Not me. And I think cereal is one of the greatest things ever invented.
Next time that you are in New York City, you got to go to Kellogg's NYC. We have a cafe restaurant there in New York City.
I seriously think that's one of the greatest things ever. We're getting to the end of our time here, but I have a few other things I wanted to go over. You know, Stacey, when it comes to nutrition, you know, being a dietitian, what do you think are the biggest misperceptions, or as we call them, misunderstandings out there right now?
You know, I think it's just kind of we've talked about a lot of them, and so I'm just kind of reiterate them just to kind of end us on that, you know, kind of summary note, is removing entire food groups is not the answer. Remember when I said that food is more than just nutrients? You know, grain-based foods provide a base contribution to our, you know, daily diet. And so I think when people think they want to start removing entire food groups, you're removing a significant portion of nutrients that those food groups provide. And while we have lots of information being shared on the internet, when it comes down to it, most people are not nutrition elitists. They're just trying to find the way that helps them feed their families or balance work and activities. And they really need realistic, affordable, and achievable ways to do that. You know, I love to cook, and I would love to make everything from scratch. But as I said before, a busy working mom of four growing athletes means that, you know what, I have to make educated and purposeful choices every day. And rather than oversimplifying by focusing on a specific or one ingredient, we really need to see a shift to focus on the overall balance and food patterns and well-being. You know, that percentage you talked about before, whether it's 80-20 or 85-15 principle, that's a really good example of that.
Yeah. And I love one of the words that you said there is realistic. And again, what people just, you do you, go your own path, find out what works for you, and understand one of the things I don't like about, you know, the fitness, health, and wellness community is sometimes there just tends to be this, there's a tendency out there to insert your opinions or with some people on what somebody else is eating. I mean, that's one of my biggest pet peeves. Again, I've referenced, you know, I put something up on Instagram and I have, you know, two or three private comments that are condemning me for this or that. It's like, you know what? I'm not here to explain my choices to you. It is about moderation, picking what you enjoy and what you love. And back to what you were saying, you know, about being a mom and having kids. I don't have kids. kids, the world is a better place because I have not chosen to have my own offspring. But if I did have kids, that's a lot, like having to cook for them and pack lunches. And like, we'd all love to be Nigella Lawson at home, do that on the weekends or maybe one weekend a month. But let's wrap up with that. You know, we're actually going to have quite a lot of moms on the show, and you're a mom. How, because we actually have probably the most folks that write into FitFluential Radio and FitFluential are moms asking questions about how do they cook and prepare and shop for the family. So how does being a mom for you, Stacey, influence how you look at nutrition?
Well, first and foremost, I see my job as being able to teach my kids healthy but realistic eating habits that they're going to enjoy for life. I mean, they live in the world. They have to be able to make choices on their own. So I've got to empower them with the knowledge and the understanding. And as they've gotten older, it's gotten easier. Right now, my kids are good eaters, and they enjoy a variety of foods and cultures. We were just talking about that before we got started. I really like to expose them to different cultural food ways. But I think that helps them. So when they leave the house, eventually, they're going to be able to make those choices and have more variety and not be labeled the picky eater, et cetera. But you know what? It was not easy. And it was hard work. And did I want to give up and just serve hot dogs and mac and cheese sometimes when they were young? Yeah. But I invested the time and I parented them through those moments. Do we enjoy our treats? You bet. Because food is meant to be shared and it's meant to be celebrated. But we're all about moderation and balance.
That's actually a great note for us to close on for today. And I know we're going to have you back on the show in the future. And I so enjoyed our first chat. I enjoyed this interview. But, you know, so many of the themes for everybody that's listening that we talked about today, these are themes that we have talked about in the first 90 episodes of FitFluential Radio. And these are themes we want to continue to drive home. Stop, especially for those of you that in early 2017 are just starting to, you know, look at getting air quotes healthier, look at getting maybe a little bit more fit. Please understand, relax a little bit. Look at developing and maintaining a lifestyle. And that means you want to enjoy things. I heard some people that were going through Thanksgiving, you know, you mentioned having your kids go out of the house and enjoy family celebrations and it's around food. Some people were like, yeah, I went to Thanksgiving dinner and I brought my, you know, plain chicken breast. And I'm like, I'm sorry. I think that sounds kind of like, I used certain words to describe that person, but enjoy life, enjoy your friends, enjoy your kids. And again, love what you just said there at the end about moderation, balance, and we talked about being realistic and, you know, all things in moderation. I think that's a good takeaway. So, Stacey, thank you so much for coming on the show. This was really a pleasure learning about your role, how you're influencing things at the Kellogg Company. We're big fans. I know I am, like I said, kind of obsessed with cereal. And we're going to have to, after the show, you're going to have to give me links to the cereal place in New York and invite me to HQ. But thank you so much for being on the show. We hope to have you back. And for everybody listening, Happy New Year. And really, let's think about moderation, 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 balance, balance, balance. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the latest episode of FitFluential Radio. We hope you enjoyed the episode. Please visit us on iTunes and like this episode and subscribe to the podcast.
We want this to be your podcast. So please head on over to iTunes, write a review, give us your feedback, tell us what you want to see, give us your ideas, and even guest suggestions. For a full transcript of all episodes and bonus giveaways, be sure to visit FitFluentialRadio.com. We look forward to seeing you again for the next episode of FitFluential Radio. Peace.
Please remember our disclaimer for the podcast. The materials and content discussed within the podcast are the opinions of hosts Kevin Cottrell and Kelly Alexa and are the guest's interview. This information is intended as general information only for listeners of the podcast. Listeners should always seek professional advice, and the content and opinions expressed on the podcast should never be construed as a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment.